Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And ChrisWright250.
This week, we have a very special guest. And actually, the podcast might sound a little bit different.
That's true.
We are on location right now.
In my living room.
In Chris's living room. This is a field trip, unlike we have had ever on the podcast.
It's pretty glorious, isn't
actually,
it?
I think the last time we did something like this, we actually brought the entire rig over here, and it was for a Wolverine review.
And we were very sleepy.
It was very sleepy.
Don't listen to that podcast. you will not be entertained.
If you want to go to sleep, listen to it, because I feel like we were talking that slow.
Yes.
Anyway, we have a very special guest on the podcast this week with us. Welcome Matt Dean to the show.
Thank you.
All the way from Mexico. En route to South Korea. It is Matt Dean.
In a layover in Nashville.
A layover in Nashville. Yeah.
The United States.
I thought that was clever. It's a layover.
Maybe hold that up to your, the microphone part.
The microphone part. No, the other side.
The other side.
Such a noob.
It's okay. We just got done with a rousing game of
Catan. I was just sitting here, and then you guys all of a sudden just turned it on like it was a switch. And now I'm just like, who are you guys?
There is a switch inside us, deep down inside, that we pull from.
This is Stay on Target. And you guys, like a soul came out of you.
There it is. Well, it's like, it's pretty late here. Like, it's after midnight right now. And so, I mean,
you have to put some effort in for the audience, for the folks.
I mean, it's like, it's that energy, dude. You gotta pull it out.
It's like I heard an eagle squaw in the distance. Oh! And then all of a sudden you guys just said, stay on target.
We have to give the audience what they deserve. You know, they are a good listening audience. Yeah. We have to be good hosts.
Well, and also I wanted to go ahead and thank everybody for sending in their topics and submissions for last week.
That was awesome.
Yeah, give us more. You know, we're actually giving away the posters, the two Guardians of the Galaxy posters, and we're going to draw those from the submission people.
Yep, you go to Stay on Target Podcast. And on the webpage up on the top right, there's a link. I think it says something like submit topics or something.
Way to be specific, Chris.
I mean, I think it says something like submitting something.
Okay.
What were some Social topics Security that number? You've looked at already that you were like, this would make a good
what did we
discussion?
Talk about?
Well, not to rehash last week, but we talked about like video gaming as like a it was the question about Minecraft and about how does that make you seem like a weirdo or something like that? If you play Minecraft,
I remember that.
We talked about that and how things like that. What was some of the other ones? There's one about we were comparing the Batman versus Superman movie to the Captain America movie.
Yes.
That just came out.
I do remember that.
There's a lot of good ones. Yeah. A lot of good solid topics.
Yes.
And there's you guys can head over there and submit yours, and we will be pulling from that list next week.
Yes.
Next week for the Guardians of the Galaxy review.
Yes. That's next week. Oh man, I cannot tell you how excited I am for this movie. It's gonna be amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
For sure. The music you heard at the beginning of the show was from the Dean Trio.
You
can find them on iTunes. I'll put the link on stayontargetpodcast.com.
And Matt Dean, who is the guest here, is actually the man behind that band, along with. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little about that project process, because it's Chava and it's Diego.
Yeah.
But tell us what this project is.
So it's a band that was started in Mexico when I was in Mexico teaching. They're former students of mine. Chava was a drummer who also sings like an angel and looks like an angel. And then the other one was the bass player, Diego, who actually wrote a musical when he was in high school about the love life of his grandparents. Kind of strange, but it was good. It was artistic. It was nice, impressive for a young cat. And we basically played a few shows down in Mexico. We've done a lot of interesting things. We've been the headliner for a bluegrass festival.
Nice.
Like a bluegrass festival.
Like a bluegrass, when I mean festival, I use that very loosely. There was two bluegrass bands who were playing previous, so it's kind of a festival.
And then after they finished
were there a lot of people there eating things and listening to music?
Are you defining a festival as eating and
a group, eating large and group music, of people doing things along with listening to music?
What if it was a medium-sized group casually eating medium-sized meals?
Were you outside?
No.
I feel like that's like
Festivals are outside?
Most
only?
Of the time. Well, most of they have an outdoor element, I feel like. Like, you can camp, or, like, I feel like that's kind of like the festival
thing.
What if
anyone pull up in an RV and ask, where do I hook up my power?
What if the door was open? Does that count as being outside?
Sure. Maybe. Yes. Yeah, if there's a possibility of, like, having wildlife wander in, then maybe.
Was
yes,
the word festival on the flyer?
It was implied.
The implication was festival. Okay, I see.
So anyways, we opened for a bluegrass festival, which was great. There was two bands. One was one that sang in Spanish, so that was kind of fun to hear bluegrass with a Spanish.
Huh, that's
so I guess here's my question for you right now. Like, as far as, you know, you obviously don't sing in Spanish.
That's true.
And so, like, but you do have those Spanish, like, those real, like, legit, authentic uno, dos, tres moments.
Sure, sure.
But also, like, what did the Spanish speaking community, what did the Mexican country folk feel about your band?
I think every concert is the kind of the same. At first, I tried to speak a little bit, but then you just realize, like, when Bono comes to Mexico, he doesn't speak Spanish, and so I kind of followed that suit and pretended I was U2, and I just went into speaking English. But there's a couple times where the jokes are kind of universal, and I caught myself, I was trying to explain a song, like what a song was about in Spanish, and I realized I only know maybe 7 words, so I just ended up saying, this song is about love, like every other song in the world.
That's awesome.
I'm going to start playing it.
That's amazing. Yes.
So that's awesome. Yes. Really a strong connection. But it was, I mean, that's always fun going up there because you kind of feel like you can't really screw up because maybe they don't even know what you're saying. So that way.
Earlier this week, I think I was asking you about movie theaters there. You were describing sounded like the most amazing experience.
Yes,
Tell us about What did you call it?
They have these things called VIP theaters. Mm. And they're a little bit pricier, but in comparison to American prices, how much – I haven't been to a movie in 3 years. How much do you pay – if you go for 2 people, how much are you paying?
Oh, for 2 people, like $20 easily.
For
just the tickets.
Two of them. Just the tickets.
Now, yeah. But if you get food or like popcorn, it can go up exponentially.
Let's say you want a panini.
Oh, gosh. Panini? I don't even know if that's possible.
I don't think they're available.
You can get like a hot dog.
Yeah, no, I'm talking a panini and also some chicken fingers and some cheese curds and some mozzarella sticks.
Okay, let's say we could get those. So like the you could probably pay like $6-7 for the chicken and maybe another $6 for the cheese curds or something like that.
I'm talking you're out the door. It's like maybe $30-$40.
I'm saying we're $40 easily.
Yeah, because like you think about the drinks. The drinks are really expensive theaters.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Just alone, like $5
probably
for a
$50
drink.
Total.
So these VIP theaters are around $40 to $50.
Okay,
but the idea is great. So you walk in, and there's maybe 20 seats, but the seats are actually leather recliners.
That's amazing.
That go all the way to the bed position, and you can take a date. So it's very cuddly. It's very romantic.
You can go see what movie did you see like this?
The Faults in Our Stars.
Ooh, that's the most recent one.
Yeah,
I will ask you, did you cry? Because this is supposedly like
I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Oh,
I
man.
Didn't even know the plot line. I had nothing, and at one point, the saddest scenario in the world. I'm not dead yet, but can you give me your eulogy? Which is a very awkward thing. It's like, Chris, if I went to you and I said, "Hey, I'm not dead yet, but I want you to tell me what you would say if I was dead."
Man,
go.
Oof. What, right now?
No, I was just in general.
Good.
It's just a very sad.
This is what if Chris already had it prepared?
That would be
like, what if he just like, he's like, okay, it's
paper.
In his wallet. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, unfold. Oh, well, I have some things prepared.
Here's some thoughts.
And I said, I really liked that. And right as I said I liked it, Jonathan stabbed me.
No, this went to a dark place just now.
So anyways, you're in the theater. Yeah. It's a leather seat. You're reclining. You can go all the way back. They have blankets. They have pillows. And they also have a waiter.
Are there people sleeping here?
There was at one point.
This is an interesting place to go for a nap.
You walk past like couples who are straight up sucking face, and you're,
this is so awkward.
It's
this
amazing.
Is like,
it's kind of
really
awkward
weird.
Because they're like 50 or 60 years old, and you're just like, ooh,
this is very strange.
I mean, at least they're keeping it alive.
That's what I'm
saying.
This
is very strange.
And you don't stare. You kind of just glance like ooh, and then you keep walking.
And you said there's a waiter.
There's
cool
a waiter.
So you can like order food in the middle of a movie.
Yeah, so you get down and you sit down, and there's a menu that is next to your seat, and you open up the menu. There's everything from simple M&Ms to as complicated as a salami panini. There's also, you know, you can get yourself a – you can literally order a rotisserie chicken, and you push this button. The waiter comes to your recliner, and he says, what do you want? You order it, and then from there he brings it out. And throughout the movie, you push a button, and that kind of calls him to and fro.
That sounds amazing. I want that now. I want that here.
I mean, like, why don't they do
this? I need
it
in my life.
Like, I feel like with the technology the way it is, like, you could literally maybe, like order it on your phone or whatever. Like, give everybody an app.
Ooh.
And, like, and you just, like, literally just order it on your phone, and they bring it to you.
You could even pre-order.
What? Yeah.
When you sit down, it's already there.
Yeah, like, whenever you buy your tickets, you can say, what meal do you want?
And one of the options is a masseuse that comes and gives you a foot massage as you're watching.
This is really distracting.
As long as they don't
turn
this into, like, you know, like airplane food. We're like, what, do you want the...
do you want the peanuts or do you want the Cheez-Its?
You want the kosher meal or do you want the chicken?
No. The problem with... I don't think it's going to make it to the States. It's just... it's already so expensive to go to a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, how could they make it more expensive and still expect people to go?
And this is the thing. A lot of... You know, like, I feel like... Real estate is at a premium inside the movie theaters around here. You know, like, they try to cram as many seats as they can.
That's
into
another.
These
well, you get like front row in an IMAX, and it's like you're looking up, you know, the nose of Optimus Prime. You know, it's whatever. You know,
yeah. I will say that's a good point. The facility the theater was in was actually like this giant outdoor mall where there was like a Starbucks. Essentially equivalent to a Sears. There's a Mexican version of a Sears.
So this is in a large facility.
This is like super large. They even have a 4D theater in there.
What's the fourth dimension?
Yeah, what's the fourth dimension?
Smells
really.
And sprays and spins and rumbles.
Okay.
It makes you real nauseous.
Explain this to me now.
So the 4D theater is a 3D theater. It's also more of an intimate theater, not as many seats. But, like, in front of you, there's things that, like, spray. It can be air. It can be water. There's, like, your chair rumbles or, like, buzzes.
This reminds me of, like, some of the experiences you get, like, at a Disney World or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like a cheap trick thing.
Is this appealing? And is it, like,
so here's
do
the
you
thing.
Smell the correct things?
I think I went to just see like a basic shoot 'em up action movie. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. So did they literally punch you? Like, was there someone just hiding behind this box that literally?
But
pops
like
up
when
and
there was
you?
Like a gunshot, like a air puff was shot in your face, like. So that was kind of fun. At the end of the day, you kind of left feeling kind of like. Like, you've been on a ride too long because you're just, like, your whole equilibrium's kind of messed up and you're, like, got weird things on your face. And at one point, like, it's like, you're like, is that water? Like, what is that? They just spray
that. Like a bad Saturday night on the town.
But it's fun. I mean, it's interesting. It's one of those things you go once and you're like,
Yeah.
And you've
experienced it, but you're done with it.
And I'm sure some movies are better than others. You know, like, a Terminator movie would probably be better than... I don't know, what would
you
say?
Think about the heat on your face in that steel mill or like the like whenever, you know, the smell of the melting, you know, Terminator or whatever. Mm. So
it was okay. It's okay. So their theater game is pretty good.
It's cool.
The issue is that it kind of flirts between like, am I watching the movie
or am I ordering food and like, you know, relaxing in a comfy armchair.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't remember really paying attention to any of the movies. More of just being pleased that I was in this environment.
Mm. I like that, though. Sometimes it's about the experience.
Sometimes. Depending on the movie.
If I were to go see a movie marathon, that's where I would want to go see it.
Because you could nap and...
I'm telling you, more comfortable, man.
I really think, like... Okay, so, like, why don't theaters just do... You can order food on your phone and then go pick it up. Like, it'll be ready for you whenever you get up there, you know? It texts you whenever you're
I don't know that that would help them sell more merchandise.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
That's true.
That's what motivates them.
That's true. People who are going to buy food are going to buy food, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So are most of the movies overdubbed, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. So most of the movies are subtitled.
Nice. subtitled in Spanish or English?
In Spanish.
So you're listening in English.
You see it, yeah, you listen to in English, which is perfect. And then the subtitles on the bottom are in Spanish, which is
nice.
Easy to follow.
Yeah.
However, some movies are dubbed.
Yeah.
And no subtitle.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, for instance, I watched the latest Mission Impossible movie. Was that Mission Impossible 3 or 4?
4.
4. 4. But that was okay also because, luckily, you need to understand nothing to understand what's happening
in that
movie. That's true.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, wild action movies like that. It's like, as long as there's wild action going on, you're like, okay.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you accept it, you know.
And maybe I didn't know exactly the plot line, but I could put the
clues knew who the bad guy was. You knew who the good guy was.
Put two and two together.
I could figure out who I was rooting for, and I think there was like a, you know, end event where I'm like, oh no, oh no. Somehow he pulled it off. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That's cool.
Also, they still do arcades.
What?
So arcades are kind of still a thing.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
Like, what kinds of games are in these arcades?
That's the best part. They're like the old-fashioned, like, shooter gun games.
Oh.
There's like the old-fashioned get on top of, like, you know, they have those fake motorcycles where you, like, actually straddle left and right.
We're talking about how many games in a room.
The thing is, it's not about how many. There's just lots of them.
Wow.
There's like, I mean, every mall has one.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
And
they're not huge, but they're fun.
Yeah.
A couple times, me and friends, we kind of went out there and did that. That was kind of fun.
Dude, I remember going to, there used to be an arcade, I don't know, somewhere, whenever we would come visit you, whenever we were children.
Like in Iowa.
Yes.
Somewhere up there.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Or it was like
in a mall or something. I don't know.
It was, you know, something like Chuck E. Cheese's or something like that.
It wasn't Chuck E. Cheese.
It wasn't Chuck E. Cheese, but it was like better than that.
Was at the same time we'd also go to Jungle Bungle.
Yeah, Jungle Bungle.
Jungle Bungle
also had an arcade.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what it was. I guarantee it. That's awesome. While I was at Disney World over the holiday, the July 4th holiday, I went to, they have it in downtown Disney or whatever, they have an arcade, and it's called Disney Quest.
Uh-huh.
And they have, like, you basically pay a flat fee or whatever, and every game in there is free from then on out. Like,
what?
You go in, you know, you pay your admission to go in the door, and every game you just kind of sit down and start it.
Unlimited?
Yeah, so it's like there's racing games, and there's like six, like, I don't know, maybe four or five different levels of gaming. And so it's like you find these really niche things, like you find you know, Ms. Pac-Man and just in some corner and you're like, yes. And there's like Dance Dance Revolution chains together and stuff. I saw one of the most extreme Dance Dance Revolution guys I've ever seen in my life in
really?
The arcade,
like a professional DDR.
Yeah, I don't even know, like he was doing, okay, so he was playing on both pads.
What?
And he was not missing a single one.
No.
It was perfect, perfect,
this
perfect, 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 perfect.
It sounds like you're making it up. I think you dreamed this.
I don't know. It was nuts, though.
I don't think.
Did you take video proof?
I actually think I did. I think I have some on my phone. I'll show you.
If this happened, we'll post it on targetpodcast.com.
If it didn't, you will know that I lost a bet and, like, you know, I owe them money or
shaven.
Something.
Yeah. Yes.
Have to
shave
clean
your face.
Oh, man, guys. The pressure is on now. The pressure is
all
on.
All of a sudden, we see a video of him dancing on two pads.
It's me trying.
Isn't that John?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The timestamp says yesterday.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I know he was getting everything perfect, but I know he's jumping back and forth as well. So it
was
like,
is he
really
playing
weird.
On easy on both?
I
of
don't
them?
Know. Probably.
Show off.
Probably.
Show off.
But all I know is I've never seen anything like it.
He was trying to pick up chicks for sure.
Does that do it? That do it for you? That work?
I mean, if I could do both pads, it would.
It would.
For sure.
Well, it's like, well, you're taking up both sides, so obviously people are lining up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, they want to play this game.
He's hogging it.
They're just like,
see.
Hey,
but you can't
get
hate
off
him.
The
you
game,
can't hate
man.
Him. He's got a perfect score hogging both sides. You're like, you're up.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That air hockey, too, in their place. That was awesome.
So you're going to South Korea.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
which the arcade game should be cool there.
I've told you, that's the first thing that I want you to do.
Listen, like, okay, so internet there is supposedly like the either the second or the first fastest in the world. It's either the fastest in the world or the second fastest in the world. And so, like, I feel like that is going to be amazing.
What could I do with the fastest internet? If you were me and you were going to, like, what's something?
Download all of the everything. Just
all
start it.
Everything.
Just buy hard drives and down, you know, I don't know.
Are you legally, of course.
Yes.
Like, what kind of things?
I don't know.
Okay, so for example, I'm maybe not the best person to understand how exciting that may be to experience the fastest internet. What are some things here where you're like,
okay, so
that's just not fast enough?
Let's do it in terms of gaming, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going up against a guy,
yeah,
and my internet lags out because my ping is terrible.
Mm-hmm. How often would that happen?
I don't know. Several times a night, maybe?
Several times a night, yeah. I mean, and also you get down to, like, Chris and I have bounced this idea around where it would be awesome to see, like, the spread of, like, okay, so there are certain cities that have really fast internet or certain, like, places in the world that have really fast internet. So what would their performance in these like, competitive games, is their performance higher? Is it lower? Like, what does this actually
versus,
do?
Like,
versus, like, so say you've got, you know, somebody with Google Fiber. Does that city outrank a city without Google Fiber?
Maybe that can be your first project, like pie graphs.
Yeah.
Of
gaming in the countries of the world, like South Korea and all that. So
something that sounds like I would do anyways. So
yeah,
when I get that information, I'll definitely post it.
Send it your way. StayOnTargetPodcast.com, right?
Yes, that's exactly where I'd post it for all the latest pie graphs.
for all the latest pie graphs and pie, go to StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
For sure. So yeah, heading over there, more internet, more games. I don't know.
Psy. You gonna go see him?
Yeah. Psy. Music, yeah. I don't know. Do they have their own systems over there? Do they have, like, their own, like are they more of a computer culture, video games? Are they more of a...
I don't know.
Xbox, you know, or, like, are they playing Street Fighter still? Like,
They're playing Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
Competitive fighters have been coming back over the recent years and things. Like, and so you see, like, a lot of the resurgence of older games and newer versions of those older games
and stuff. There's a new Mortal Kombat coming out this year. Kombat X.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And they have, like, whole competitions. Like, the Evo competition that just happened a couple weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, in Las Vegas.
And they had a bunch of, like, just... video game, fighting games, and, like, I think they even had, like, Pokemon involved or whatever. So they had, like, so many fighting things. It was this big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all of that is a big deal. And people fly from all over the world to do these tournaments and do the competitive gaming. So
yeah.
I mean, I think that you'll be interested to see that side of it.
And if any of the listeners know if there's a game I should be playing before I go so I can make friends or I can be in the lingo,
yes.
Let us know, because that would be cool if they're like, no, you need, I've been to Korea, you need to play this game.
Yes. This is the one.
And maybe I'll find some secret cultural, like, game that no one's got around here.
Dude, that'd be amazing. That, and you actually, can mail it to us.
Okay, yeah. So you're like a hop, skip, and a jump away from Japan as well, and Japan actually releases so many games, so many great games that don't make it over here, that they don't release in the U.S. market. They just release
in
Japan.
You say that like it's just like, oh man, let's go down the road to Japan. It's like across an ocean.
It's an hour flight.
Oh, that's awesome though.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I'm telling you, it's like right there from where you're
if
at.
If you were in my situation, would you go to Japan just to check out video games?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, you know, try to go like tour the headquarters of like
all
of those places.
When's the Tokyo Game Show?
Yeah, dude, Tokyo Game Show, man.
What's Tokyo Game Show?
I don't know
when
that is.
They have their own game show?
Yeah, it's like an industry event.
Yeah,
you can go check out,
and they show
games.
A bunch of games. Like it's a convention of sorts where there's just tons of games and stuff. So
animated games or all types of games,
all types. But like what we could do, you should go to these things. Like if you have the opportunity to go to one of these, we should have you back on and have you report back and say hey.
We'll FaceTime you in.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll give my take of what I saw.
Yes.
I like
it. You'd be the man on the ground.
The man on the street.
Our international reporter.
Our international love.
Ooh, international reporter. I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that, you know.
Our Stay on Target contributor.
Contributor.
Yeah, I like it.
Abroad contributor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Contributor abroad. That's what it would be, right?
Attributor abroad. And overseas.
Overseas, yeah. Correspondent.
Correspondent.
Lots of important sounding words.
Yes. to signify nothing.
You're gonna have to get a business card and everything.
Yeah, like, we'll send you some cards.
Yeah.
Business cards. Is there anything else that you're doing, you know, exciting before you head back?
I'm trying to think of something relatable. No, not really.
Just hanging, that sort of thing.
Hanging.
You leave in a couple weeks, so it's like you're kind of trying to get that last bit of business done, like, you know, just getting stuff ready to go.
Housekeeping and then go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really it.
Well, it's been awesome having you on the podcast.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. I mean, I've listened to several podcasts. I will say that I was very awestruck how quickly we went from... this being an idea to you guys turning it on full blast to like Like, I expected something much more, like, okay, like, you maybe had, like, a list of things you were going to talk about, or, like, there was some sort of structure to this.
Dude, it's a conversation, you know?
I get it, but, I mean, I was totally off guard when you just said, hey, turn on your... And then we all clapped our hands, and the next thing we know...
Go team, go! Yeah, that makes it seem like we're some sports team. It's just,
so I would like to say hats off to you two for truly being knowledgeable and charismatic on the spot. I mean, well, that's a gift. Don't hide that, gentlemen.
Well, we very much appreciate we appreciate all the listeners, and thanks to everybody who's submitting their topics and everything like that too. So yeah. we really enjoy doing it.
Hey, did you say Chava listens?
Diego.
Okay. Hi, Diego.
So hello, what's up, Diego. Hello, Diego. Hopefully you're listening right now and you're saying to yourself, hey, that's me. And maybe you'll call in sometime.
Yes.
That'd be great. That'd be amazing.
Is that possible?
We could get a bunch of international correspondents just spread across the entire world.
Yes.
And we'll just get the network of Stay on Target.
That's how we will rise to power. The international scene.
I like it.
Perfect.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a Twitter handle?
Me?
Yes.
Yes. It's kind of nerdy, so all right. I don't know if we really want to. It's Deanonomics.
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 Onomics.
Right. Deanonomics.
On Twitter. And I'm Chris Wright 250.
I'm John Wright 777.
The Dean Trio is playing right now, taking us out. Thank you so much for being on. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.